and you break the whites into a little interim bowl.
Into the Soup, the most fun you'll have in your kitchen with your clothes on. It's about jumping in, getting your hands dirty, and getting off of the recipe page. We take a bite out of life and we live in the now. Blazing trails, meeting characters, sharing stories, and making things happen. So open your ears and close your mouth, and let's get into the soup with Heidi Lee.
Hey there, boys and girls. This is Heidi Lee, and you are into the soup right here on KWSS 93.9. We are all tucked up here at Gertrude's at Desert Botanical Gardens in the private dining room. And with me today is my superstar producer, Leisha Torres.
Hola.
Hola. Can I call you LT?
Oh, sure. LT is great.
Can I call you BLT?
Sure.
I shorten everybody's names. It's just easier that way. Actually, I asked one of my chefs, I'm like, okay, your name is Stephen Butler. Can I call you Steve? And he said, no. I'm like, oh, okay, not a problem. I'm good with that.
Oh.
So I named my daughter Samantha.
And you call her Sam.
I call her Sam or Sammy or Boo or
Sammy
you
Witch.
Or get your over here. Get this done for me. For some reason, when we were setting up and I met Chef Matt Taylor, who's going to be here today, and Christina Barrueta of Right on Ruby. Mm. Going to be fun. He's like, yeah, so this room, this chef's dining room that we have is like totally soundproof. And I'm like, well, that's really good for me, but I think it's going to be even better for your diners. Because when we start busting a gut in here, you're hoping that they are not going to want to hear me. Because
yeah.
It gets loud.
The ambiance in here is just amazing, though. I like the low lighting.
Is that do you? You a low light kind of girl, LT?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, me too. Not. Well, actually, yeah. Because then
think
we don't
you
see
like
all,
the spotlight.
We don't see it. Stop it. Me, no. Never,
yeah.
Never. Yeah, my daughter used to say that she could always find me in a department store because of my laugh.
Uh-huh.
And when we used to test before the show, they'd say, okay, Heidi, laugh. Because just to test the mic so I didn't, like, blow everybody's ears out.
Okay, Heidi, laugh.
Out there. No, I can't because I still have this cold. And if I laugh, it sounds like I'm really, like, I have the plague.
Okay.
Which
laugh.
I don't. So, but, you know, it seems kind of odd to me. She's like, Mom, I can find you in a department store. It's like, okay, so I'm wandering around alone in a department store. Why am I laughing?
To find your daughter?
I don't know. It's like an all-natural, you know, find my friends app. Don't you think?
App, yeah.
I think that's scarier than hell, to be honest with you.
You like, thought of that.
Well,
that's like, good.
Well, it is good, but, you know, if you load it up on your phone, people know where you are. You can't lie.
Well,
it's like, Mom, where are you? Oh, you know, I'm at the bar. Not. So do you like to dine out?
I dine out, not a whole lot. You know, it's a little pricey and I got to watch my budget. But I love going to Mexican food restaurants. And the latest one that I've been to was the Comedor Guadalajara on South Central Avenue.
Say that five times fast. No. See, what is it called again?
It's called Comedor, which actually it translates to diner.
Comedor?
Comedor, yeah.
Okay.
Because
como is eat, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's come. Comedor Guadalajara, which means it's Mexican food from the Guadalajara region.
Okay.
And it is delicious. The place in there is really, they've recently remodeled. It's very contemporary. You know, it's modern. I like it in there. It's modern with Mexican food. I mean, you would think there'd be like mariachis and stuff, but
yeah, that's kind of old.
Yeah. So it's very a lot of people. That place is always packed, but they serve you really quick, and the food is always good and hot.
What's your favorite? Do you have a dish there that you like?
I like the tamale dish that comes with the enchilada. That dish is always like fresh and moist and delicious. And wait a minute, that sounds like I'm describing myself.
Really?
Excuse me.
An inflated sense we've got coming on over there.
I've heard that.
Love it.
But all the food there is good.
And it's local?
It's local.
It's mom and pop?
Mom and pop.
We love that.
You know, it started tiny and now they're huge and they've moved a couple of times actually.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So we all support local here. Yeah. Into the Soup is supports the culinary arts so dining doesn't go the way of Walmart. That's a big deal to us. So everything that we focus on is local, locally sourced, local products, local chef-driven restaurants, mom and pops, you know, the whole shebang. We're a big supporter of Local First Arizona, which is fantastic.
And I support local.
Good. And that's the word that we're trying to spread out here. So it's a lot of fun. And I know that the people that are going to be with us today feel the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And we, isn't this so cool? Desert Botanical Gardens. Have you ever been here?
A couple of times, but years ago. So
okay.
It's good to be back.
All right. So what people have to understand is when you come to Gertrude's, it's just inside the gate. So when you pay admissions to go to the gardens, you don't have to pay an admission. You just kind of hang to the right. I'm Heidi Lee, and you are into the soup.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. The only thing I didn't learn in school today is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Into the Soup. I'm your host, Heidi Lee. And I'm not very trendy. In fact, I'm about as far from trendy as you can possibly get. I have, you know, like Samantha's bewitched hairstyle from the 1970s. I'm just too lazy to change it up, and I don't want to cut it short because then I have to even style it more. So I'm just, you know, just go with the blow dry, and, you know, and I still use a curling iron.
Same here.
Bad, epic fail. I don't really care. My daughter was once, she went to get me a Build-A-Bear when she was little, and she went with her grandmother, and they're looking at, you know, all these little outfits you can buy for it, and ball gowns and tiaras and all this, and my daughter says, you know, my mom's just not like that. So my Build-A-Bear was in jeans and a t-shirt. And a pair of cowboy boots.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, that works. Yep. I can handle that. So, but with trendy and the new year comes things that are in, mm-hmm. or they project to be in, and things that are out. And so everybody's out there in the foodie world opining on all these mm-hmm. different things that are going to come along. And I know that Christine will have some information on that, as will Matt. And there's some pretty interesting stuff. And one thing I want to focus on, too, that we're going to go over is the new face of Arizona Republic dining scene, who kind of stepped in for Howard Seftel when he retired, is Dominic Armato. And he sent out a little missive the other day. It was basically a plea to all the chefs in the Valley to say, can you stop serving these dishes? They're old, we're tired of them, let's move on. He didn't give them any other options to go with, just like, can you please nix this off your menu?
Be creative.
Well, yeah, you can be creative, but there are some staples out there. I mean, for some people, it's like fried calamari. Every once in a while you look for that. I know you can come up with a whole different type of aioli, but who knows? But these guys will help me chime on that too.
Right.
Yay. Uh-huh. Okay. I wanted to say a big, huge thank you to Barron Properties and specifically Trillium, because the other hat I wear is a caterer with a little company I call Gray Tie Events. And we are doing Wind Down Wednesdays for them. And that we did one just last Wednesday, and they have a new property that they just opened on 44th Street in Washington, and it's called 44. And you walk into this joint, and it's like the Jetsons puked all over the place. It is so cool and so modern. They've got this every color. I can see. I know, isn't that great? Can you imagine all the Jetsons just puking into a lobby of a apartment? But it's like luxury lifestyle. Mm-hmm. They're right on the rail. And it's just really awesome. And so we come in, and I bought two new little, they're called camp chefs. So they're like, the proper French word is Rashad, when they used to do tableside service with Bananas Foster and Cherry's Jubilee and Crepe Suzette. But it's a little camp stove. So if you don't have a kitchen that we can work from, we actually did a demo for 20 people just using those little camp stoves. Cool. It was killer. And I bought a new spiral slicer. That was really fun.
Well, tell me the name of this place again.
It's called 44.
Oh.
And it's a Trillium property. And we're doing their Wind Down Wednesdays, which is very awesome. And they have a bunch of new properties opening up, and we're working very closely with them. So it's a lot of fun, and I love my job. It's fantastic. I got a shout out. Who was there? Janet was there, and Spencer was there, and Amethyst was there. I feel like that romper room gal. You remember that? You guys might not.
I see Heidi.
And there goes that. Oh, is that what it was? I see Heidi. And there's this kid, Jason. And he came. We did their grand opening for him at Christmas time. And he just decided to, you know, go ahead and hit it with the wine. And at the end, he came up to me and he says, I don't know how many risotto cakes that kid ate. But he comes up to me and he says, I know why your food tastes so good. And I'm like, really? Why is that? He says, I think you make it with love from your heart. I'm like, oh, nice, dude. Thanks a lot. So he was there on Wednesday, too. And we had a really good time. So we're going to take a quick little break. Okay. We will be back with Christina Barrueta. And she and I are going to play a little bit. And then after that, Chef Matt Taylor will join us. We are here at Gertrude's. I'm Heidi Lee. And you are into the soup.
This is a guided meditation on parenting. Take this time to breathe deeply and close your eyes. Right now, you're completely in control. Unlike the time you and your son played basketball and you attempted to slam dunk. Or when you tried removing those raccoons from the basement. Concentrate on the soothing sound of my voice. Release the memory of when you wrestled with that beehive in your son's treehouse. Let go of the time you thought that skunk was a cat, or when you pulled into the garage with your son's bike on top of the car. Deep breaths. Deep breaths.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Into the Soup. I'm your host, Heidi Lee. My favorite color is green, and my sleep number is 24. What's your favorite color,
Christine? I'd say purple.
Purple? Is there a purple food out there that you like?
That's an interesting question.
Fingerling potatoes. Aren't there purple potatoes?
Oh, purple Peruvian potatoes.
Purple Peruvian potatoes?
Maybe lilac blossoms in my cocktail.
Oh, so which cocktail? Don't say the cocktail of the Weekly Wet, because that comes in the fourth second. So what would you put lilac blossoms into?
Well, I guess in Arizona there isn't a big demand for lilacs.
Because there aren't any here.
But for floral blossoms, I was just did an interview at Kai on Mixologist Liberty, and she is a big proponent of using the things that grow around the property and indigenous things. So I would say go to Kai and have her decorate a cocktail with a flower.
I like cocktails.
Me too.
You like cocktails too, don't you? Like, we did meet over cocktails. The first time we met was at Royal Palms at T. Cook's.
That's right.
Remember that? And you came up to me and you're like, are you Heidi Lee? And I'm like, whoa. Who are you, stalker? I'm like, yeah. And you and E sat down with me, and Emily, I think, was there, my rock and radio redhead.
They had done a contest on their Taco Tuesday and who could submit a taco.
Oh, did you submit a taco?
Yeah, I did a hoisin glazed duck taco, and they picked it and then made it that night.
You are actually an amazing cook.
I just like to cook.
I know you do.
Amazing.
You do. Well, I think you are.
You're an amazing cook because you just graduated from
culinary. That was fun. I had such a great time.
I loved your blow of all the events. They were hilarious.
It was, you know, I didn't expect it. I didn't expect to walk into culinary school and be so goddamned entertained. I mean, I knew it would be challenging, you know, and I had some basics down, but I didn't know so much. And, I mean, my basics instructor, Chef Macarola, was an absolute, he was a hoot. We had this girl he nicknamed Tucson. I swear she weighs like 80 pounds soaking wet. And her hands looked like the hands of like a five-year-old, so we started calling her half hands. And when we were in basics, it was like the last day of week six, and she's mopping the floor, and he walks up to her and he says, I can lick harder than that. And we're like, what?
It was awkward silence.
It was, but it was absolutely hysterical.
I bet they appreciated you capturing.
Oh, it was really fun. It was, and then they hired me. The next time we met, I invited you to Grey Tie event tryouts. Wasn't that awesome? That was so awesome.
With the ladies that I met that day.
Really? Cool. Cool.
Gillette.
Oh, she's awesome. Yeah. Yeah, that was fun. That was the first audition we had. And in fact, you were there for two of the guys who are still with me.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah, Rick Morales and Mark.
Nice.
Yeah, so that was really fun. But yeah, they all had to audition to get their gray ties, and I gave them $50 in 90 minutes. And then we all sat around the island and they came in and prepared their dishes, and not everybody got a tie. But the ones that did are out there. I got to shout out Chef Rick because he's been my rock lately and he's awesome. So anyway, so right on Ruby, is that a double entendre? Because it's like right on and
yes,
then right
actually,
on.
When I started the website, I was trying to think of, should I do Christina, my name? But in talking to everybody, because I wrote under Ruby on Arizona Wine Lifestyle magazine.
Okay.
Keep your brand.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah, are familiar with, you know, do that same thing. So when that magazine sold, I didn't have a platform to support all our great local talent.
Okay.
Because I was very lucky with that magazine where the editors did not give me the assignments. I would go to a restaurant, love it, would pick somebody to write about. In fact, I think my last article was Matt Taylor when he was over at
Oh, is that right? Okay, very cool.
So
this is a little, you know, synergy, synchronicity kind of a thing going on.
So I'm super excited that he's on the show. But when that magazine sold and they didn't do features anymore, I needed an outlet to do the supporting of our talent that we have, our beverage talent, the culinary talent.
Yay.
You know, everybody in the industry I'm just in awe of, because I certainly can't do what these people do.
Well, I think, I mean, for me, the dining scene has changed here. I lived here in 1996. I've lived here three times. So my ex-husband went to Thunderbird, and we were here in 96 and 97. Then we moved away, and then we came back, and we were here from 2002 to 2004, and then came back, and I've been here since 2007. And so just to come back and forth and just see the changes, you know, it's like not seeing someone for a long time who, you know, lost a bunch of weight or got a new hairstyle. It's like, whoa, this has changed. Because in 96, 97... there was nothing compared to what we have now. And there was no 101. So if you wanted to go east, you had to take Bell or like Greenway, because we were on the west side of town. And I think the talent, the local talent that we have that is staying now is outstanding.
I think we're so lucky with what we have. I did an interview on another amazing chef, Ryan Swanson, over at Kai.
Uh-huh.
And he said it's not just exciting for us as the consumers. He says it's exciting for the chefs.
Because in what way?
Well, because I feel they're more supported. They can take more risks. People aren't looking constantly for these old, familiar, tired dishes. You know, they can
right.
put their mark and their creativity, and it'll be more accepted, and just the camaraderie. So,
I think what's fascinating on the flip side of that coin is that you have such educated consumers. Mm-hmm. You have people that really want it. I mean, you could walk into any other, you know, a lot of other cities across the nation, and people wouldn't appreciate what we have here.
We have a lot of heart here.
Yes, we do. And they all have support. I mean, this is a really, you know, Phoenix in general is an overgrown resort town. And not that that's bad, but, you know, it grew the way that it has. And that's fantastic for diners and chefs alike and creative people. There's a huge support for the arts here, which I think is fantastic. But from a consumer's perspective, if you've got people that appreciate it, understand it, mm-hmm. and have the disposable income to support it.
I never even thought of that. We already have a built-in base that other cities don't have with the resort tourism. And now we're flushing it out with that.
So it just popped into my head.
What a great thing. I mean, that's kind of a magical conversation.
It really is, actually. And I actually seriously just thought of that. That's what's a magic. Yeah, right. I have CRS, too, which is can't remember. I have to take notes on everything. I think it's fascinating, and it's really fun. And before I forget this, we just came back into radio about 3 weeks ago, and I've been reaching out to old friends and new, and everyone has been so welcoming. It's so fantastic. It's like, yeah, I'd love to be on the show. How can we help? And so we're really excited for this, you know, next new start over chapter for Into the Soup and doing what we do like you do in supporting all these local awesome people.
Well, thank you, because I'm so excited. I'm lucky. I moved from Boston in 2008, and even that change from 2008.
Really? You've only been here since 2008?
Yep, jumped right in. First couple months I was here, I got approached to write for Arizona Wine Lifestyle.
Did you write before?
I did online. I didn't.
Okay.
I wasn't a paid writer. You know, one of those like Chowhound and food,
right.
you know, food blogs. But, you know, I lucked out. One of my best friends still is Ronnie Moffitt and her husband.
Oh, yeah, she's so cool.
So I met them within 2 months of moving here. I booked a locavore dinner at James Porter's old place.
Oh, yeah, Petit Maison? Or the other one, Topino, that's it. Thanks, Matt.
And Ernesto Sun said, could I bring my good friends? And it was Ronnie and Josh. And
that's great. So now doing Bright on Ruby, and I mean, didn't you just win an award? I can't remember through which medium it was for best
Arizona
blog.
Foothills.
Okay, very nice.
Local food blog or website. Yeah,
congratulations. That's really
it's
cool.
It's very stressful. I'm not going to.
Why?
Next year to vote every day, but.
Because that's how you won? Because you put a gun to their head? You vote for me!
It was one of those you had to vote every day, and I appreciate the support. I got a ton of support from the beverage community. I have to give a shout out.
That's because you drink a lot of beverages. He's like, you rival me for heavy drinker award of the year.
That's why we get together.
I know it. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's very, very cool.
So
and so is that your only gig now? Is doing Right on Ruby? Because didn't you do like medical records or something
still
like that?
I actually work a full-time job, which everybody is totally.
Are you kidding me?
I don't get much sleep right now.
Oh my God. I pass out.
I
just basically spin like a top from 5 o'clock in the morning until 9. You can call me Sybil. You know, just bell the difference like shit.
Well, then for the website, I'm getting more writing assignment. Yep. So that's increased. The website work has increased. And
well, I think it's great. And, you know, we're kindred souls. Yeah. And that we have this great appreciation for food. We have a great appreciation for our chefs. We have a great appreciation for where we live. Absolutely. And it's spring. It's January. And we're going to, all those events out there that are coming down upon us, we're like, stop. And then we've got Super Bowl and the Waste Management Open. I just even can't hardly say that without throwing up a little bit in my mouth.
That's when I tweet.
Is that really? Do not get on the 101 Hayden Corridor. Okay. Thank you very much, my lovely lady. And you will stay with us. We will be back in just a minute. You're into the soup. And Chef Matthew Taylor from Gertrude's will be joining us. And he brought like 1,000 snacks. Time to eat. Later.
Arizona Culinary Institute is now enrolling for 2016. The next start date for their day program is February 22nd, and the evening program begins April 11th. Arizona Culinary Institute is a dynamic, hands-on, fast-paced program that gets you restaurant ready in 6 months. Online at azculinary.edu or 480-603-1066 for more information. If you've got what it takes, they've got what you need. Arizona Culinary Institute, where passion becomes profession.
Hey there, boys and girls. Welcome back to Into the Soup right here on 93.9 KWSSFM. Hey, this is kind of cool. I just thought about this. Another thing about local, KWSS is like an indie local, you know, small rock music kind of a supporter. And they're actually a 501c3. And that makes us really cool for people that want to sponsor and support their program because they're local. And any direct marketing or advertising that you do with them is a charitable donation. So we think that's kind of great. They're very supportive of Into the Soup. I called Frank Magrelli and I'm like, hey, dude, I want to come back on the radio. You got a spot for me? And he's like, yep, here you go. I'm like, sweet. And so with that being said, we are back and we have Chef Matthew Taylor.
Aloha.
How are you? Aloha.
Yes.
Oh, there we go. Hi, how are you?
I'm fabulous.
Mahalo. Did you ever live in the Garden State of Hawaii?
I know. I would love to. My wife grew up there part-time, and I got married there, and we try to go back every year.
Where did you get married?
On Kauai, on the North Shore.
Oh, my little brother got married in Kauai.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Apparently, it's a popular place for chefs to get married. I know.
He's not a chef, but, you know, that's okay.
I know. Bo McMillan got married over there.
Did he?
Yeah.
All right. Ago,
right on Kauai as well.
Okay.
A few other folks.
Yeah. So. I mean, it's a beautiful place. I've been to Kauai. That's the only place in Hawaii that I've been is Kauai twice.
It doesn't suck.
It doesn't suck. Yeah. Did you take the inner tube tour through the caverns on the pineapple farms?
I have not.
Oh, next time you go, you got to do that. You get an inner tube. They give you a miner's hat that's got a big light on it. And it just floats downhill. It's the irrigation system for these pineapple
farms. My wife's done that and did it as a kid, and it freaked her out.
Well, yeah, because you do the little pinball up against the, you know, you're in a freaking cave, and you're like, bing, ding, 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 you know. But it was, that was exciting, but it was cold. But it was fun. I love that. So welcome to the show. What do you do, and what's your favorite color?
What do I do? My favorite color, I don't know. I love black. I'm not a black person, but black and red are kind of my favorite colors.
Black and red?
Yeah.
That's cool. Those are great tie events colors, black and red. Yeah, see? There's our connection.
You know,
here we go.
It's formal, but you like to party too.
Yeah.
And what do? I cook from time to time.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah. And
I heard you were a zookeeper.
Our house could be considered a zoo.
Really? Yeah. You have a lot of animals?
Well, just one, not excluding her owners, but yeah.
Okay. What kind of animal do you have?
We have a 60-pound lap dog.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Yeah. A 60-pound lap dog, and what is the dog's name?
Lovely. Her name is Makana, so Hawaiian for gift.
Keeping
with the theme. But yeah, she's a little 1-year-old pit bull that just, she's just a big, big lover. She's a sweetheart.
Was it a rescue dog?
She's a rescue
dog,
good
for you, man. Right on.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Cool. Okay, Christine is still here. Are you still here with me, drinking rival good girlfriend?
Yes, I am.
Yay. You're a big fan of this boy right here.
Yes. Super impressed. I didn't meet him personally, but at Metro Brasserie when it first opened, which, by the way, also had a great cocktail menu.
Oh, cocktail menus.
But his food, it was actually the first time I had poutine, by the way.
Was it?
Yep, at Metro. Man. A little behind the curve, but ever since, I've compared all poutine to Matt's, and sorry, other chefs.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to start doing that. You know, I totally got ahead of myself. I forgot. We have to do our soup of the week.
Okay.
Okay, our soup of the week is brought to you by Arizona Culinary Institute, where passion meets profession. And just so you know, ACI is accepting applications 24/7. The next day classes start February 22nd and every 6 weeks after that. The next night classes start April 11th. It's free to apply, so go to www.azculinary.edu or you can call 480-603-1066 if you have what it takes. They've got what you need. Arizona Culinary Institute. Our soup of the week is from you.
So, yeah, since we're going to talk about trendy stuff later.
Okay. We are. I mean, I never know, man. I just like going off on a tangent. It's like, you didn't even stick to the script. I mean, yeah, but I wrote it. So, okay. Good.
Well, you mentioned it. So, I thought, let's do something super trendy and make some gazpacho. But no, it doesn't have to be. You know, we did it because it's, one, it's just a great way to use vegetables, like whether you have some leftover vegetables or just want to take advantage of whatever's in season.
Okay.
And it. You know, everybody associates it, you know, with being summertime, like tomatoes and peppers and stuff, which is fantastic. And
yeah.
It totally is. But, you know, it's doable all season. You can use, like, this has some awesome root vegetables in it, lots of fennel, a little bit of turnip, radish, celery. It does have a little bit of red pepper in it as well to give it its color and a little bit of sweetness. But it's a total versatile soup. And, you know, good all your...
What's with the, like, lovely little shot of vodka on the top of it? Is that just because?
That's just for us.
Oh, because the Lushes are here? Okay.
I'm playing to the crowd.
What's that?
Playing to the crowd, you know, with the little...
Well, I think, you know, our entire 12 listeners are probably just hanging on the edge of their seats before I take a sip of this. Okay, ready? Here we go. Go ahead and fill
it. But,
in.
Yeah, no, but it isn't a bad combination, is it? I mean... Ice cold vegetables, a little ice cold vodka.
See, can you see why I'm such a fan of his, though? The fennel gives that kind of nice little toasty anise.
It's got a little zip.
No, and the vodka actually is good with the spice and helps cut the fat a little bit as well from the olive oil, which there's a good amount of in there.
Yeah, I mean I used to make it was kind of like when I cooked before. I'm not going to go into that, but it was like the end of the charter. Anything that was left vegetables, I always did quiche and a gazpacho.
Sure.
And you can just really, it's like everybody's own spaghetti sauce. You can put whatever you want in it too, but I love the fat from that olive oil.
Yeah,
what kind do you use?
That's just a Frantoia olive oil, which we like a lot just for finishing.
Wow, that's really good, Matt.
It's good stuff.
Wow, that's fantastic. Is it EVOO?
Yes.
Yes, of course it is, because that's a really stupid question, right?
You with the trendy acronym.
Trendy! Trendy acronym. I love it. Okay, so you are awfully young to have worked at some of these amazing establishments in your career. You started as a dishwasher.
Yeah, I was very fortunate. I started as a dishwasher in a restaurant, kind of a corporate chain back up in Canada where my brother was a server.
And that's Alberta, right?
Alberta,
that's
Calgary.
That's God's country up there.
1,600 miles straight north of here.
Okay, that's straight. Just fly over the Grand Canyon.
Straight shot. And yeah, just worked my way up from there, but I, you know, kind of fell in love with the controlled chaos and
the bipolar disorder required to be in this industry, right?
Yes, that lends itself well. It lends itself well to me. it was kind of love at first sight, and every job I've had has been in the kitchen from there on. So
you're adrenaline junkie, just like everybody else that does this.
Absolutely,
and you have to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Love adrenaline. Love chaos. Love, you know, foul language and hot environments and hanging around.
Not me. Beep 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 beep. Yeah. Never mind. Okay. So you worked. I mean, I'm not going to go through your history and the litany of where you've been because it's all been amazing. But I will say, okay, Mary Elaine's. You worked at Noka. You worked with Michael Mina. You worked with Robert McGrath, Brad Thompson. Was there any one person that stood out as the greatest influencer to you for your cooking? Or not? Take it away.
Definitely the 4 or 5 years I spent with Brad Thompson at Mary Elaine's.
Okay.
That was kind of where I grew up, so to speak, and grew up very quickly in a kitchen sense and just in life. You know, just being surrounded by such a wonderfully talented group of people each and every day was really just a culinary boot camp, so to speak.
Nice.
And learning how to do things the right way from a very early age was a blessing and lucky.
What do you mean by the right way? Because, you know, I think that a lot of people would disagree with you on that. There can be, there are right ways. There are French techniques. There's, you know, the Escoffier system and things like that of the world.
Not taking shortcuts.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much.
And not developing, or at least I think, at least in the kitchen, not developing bad habits.
Okay. And a bad habit would be taking a shortcut, being lazy, sure. you know, don't lean when you can clean.
You always you know, think that good cooks do the right thing when nobody's looking. And, you know, learning that and developing that philosophy from an early age really, really helped me move quickly in my career and
okay.
then get to work with a lot more great people afterwards.
Okay. So you take it very seriously.
I do. And especially that, and, you know, I owe a lot to Brad. He's just wonderful. And you can ask anybody that worked with him during that period how loyal they are to him even to this day.
Right.
What an awesome group. A few of them were instructors when you went to school.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah, Chef Wolf, Chris Wolf.
Chris Wolf, Matt Maddox.
Matt Maddox, yep.
Sheriff, as we used to call him.
Yes, the chef. Chef DeWitt.
Was she
at Mary Lance? No, okay. Not when you were there. But I think she was, I can't remember. Almost caught.
But I mean,
that was close.
Lots of people have been through that kitchen.
Yes, they have.
Especially in this valley.
They have. And when you and I met earlier this week, we talked about the fact that you actually missed that. The five-star dining with the napkins and the captains and the tableside service. Christina, you can jump in anytime.
I miss that too. As most of you know, I like food all the way from... Mm-hmm.
I like food
a
too.
A little Mexican hole in the wall to an Asian place that might not look too clean, but as long as the food is good. If it's stacked
with the Asians, you know it's good, right?
And I love fine dining. I like to dress up and make dining out an occasion. And fortunately, we had one time to visit Mary Lane's before it closed. And I miss those places. I used to,
when I was a little kid, that was what, even though I grew up on a farm, my parents were just like so curious. Just extremely curious. And we'd go to San Francisco maybe once every 2 years, and we always went to Top of the Mark. And even if we could just afford dessert, so we'd go in at 3 o'clock and they'd bring those beautiful dessert trays by that hardly ever exist anymore. You know, and I always remember the person always had their hand behind in their small of their back, you know, with a napkin over their forearm. And if you'd go to dinner, you would spend 3 hours sitting around the table. And, I miss it, too.
I miss that. And I actually have a pet peeve, and I know I might offend people, but...
Who gives a crap? You're on my show.
When you go out to eat to a nice place, dress up.
Yeah.
You know, there's a proponent of people who, I'm paying for this expensive dinner, I will dress the way I want.
Right.
And I think that's kind of selfish.
It is, and it's kind of like, remember flying in the good old days, where you actually dressed up to get on an airplane?
It was an occasion.
It was an occasion. I still do it because I think you just get a little bit more of that, you know, cred respect from whoever's, you know, walking up and down those aisles rather than flip-flops and a, you know, wife beater and a hat on backwards.
And dressing up and is a sense of respect at a restaurant.
I think so too.
I'm not saying wear a bow tie, but just, you know, don't say.
Or a fedora.
If I can wear shorts, I'm wearing shorts.
Right. No, I agree with you.
It affects the ambiance. It affects the your fellow diners.
Yeah, maybe I think so too. Absolutely. So let's go over to Gertrude's for just a little bit.
Okay.
And you brought some beautiful snacks here. I had some chicken livers.
Yeah, we got some fried livers, some mussels, a bunch of pickles, some nice aged ham.
Pulling at my heartstrings. Oh, I love chicken livers. I grew up with that.
It's good beer food or wine food and vodka food in this case.
Yeah, it's fantastic. But I wanted to say really quickly, the recipe for your soup is on Into the Soup. Okay, and everybody has to sing the .com. Okay, ready? Is on Into the Soup .com. Christina. Okay, ready? Into the Soup .com. I can carry the tune, so that's okay. I'll overwhelm you. But the soup is up on the site, so you can find that there. And he broke it down for, you know, like 4 servings instead of 800, so we really appreciate that. Even though I do know how to use a conversion factor now.
Hey,
look at that. New yield divided by old yield, right? Ooh, boy.
I forgot all that long time ago.
Did you? Screw it, I don't care. But this is, it's a lovely spread. You brought us some neat stuff. And you've been here for how long?
It'll be 2 years in March.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's flown by so fast.
Has it?
It's just silly busy how it gets here in the wintertime, as I'm sure you saw when you walked in.
Yes, I did.
And then the summertime, you know, we experience what most places do in Arizona.
Everybody does, yeah.
But, you know, to take advantage of that and have a little break is nice.
Well, and it's such a gorgeous setting. At the Botanical Gardens. I mean, that's pretty dang cool.
It's not a bad place to walk into work every day.
You know, and you're kind of off the beaten path. So that it's what's amazing with something like that is it isn't necessarily location, location, location. I mean, it's not difficult to get here, but it's not like you're in Old Town Scottsdale.
No, but we are and we aren't. I mean, we're 5 minutes one direction from Tempe, Phoenix, or Scottsdale. But you know, you come out here, walk out in the middle of the night, and you'd think you're like out in the desert somewhere because there's no street lights and just beautiful.
Because you are, yeah, yeah. It's not a bad, it's not a bad gig. Dude.
Doesn't suck.
And you love it. You do. Did you get a lot of freedom with your menu?
Yeah, you know, they've been really kind to me from day one. The owners are really generous in terms of just kind of letting us do our thing in the kitchen.
Okay.
As long as it doesn't suck.
And I'm assuming you have a good team. Did you assemble them? Were they here when you arrived?
Some people have been here since day one.
Okay.
Most of them are pretty, you know, been with us at least a year or so now. But yeah, we have an awesome team. We wouldn't be able to do it without them.
And are you breakfast, lunch, dinner, lunch, dinner?
Lunch, dinner.
Okay.
And then brunch Saturday and Sunday from 8 to 4.
Ooh, tell me about your brunch.
Brunch. So again, it's 8 to 4 live music on both Saturday and Sunday.
Right on.
Kind of has like a riff on our, you know, on our dinner menu with more of a brunchy influence, I guess. You know, throw an egg.
What exact can you define a brunchy influence for me?
Know,
because
throw
that's
an egg
a
on
new
it.
It's a new trend.
It's a new trend. It's called throwing eggs on stuff. No, wait, that's already been done.
Sorry, Andy.
throw an egg on everything makes it better. Trend has already been done. So.
As long as it's a quail egg, then yes. It's really elevated. Yes. We're up there. Wear nice clothes.
Bougie, yes, quite.
Little champagne.
Yes.
Cool.
But yeah, no, it's a lot of fun, and obviously, like being on the patio this time of year is just
party
awesome.
On the patio.
On the patio, drinking whatever and listening to music and eating
having
some
good food.
Yeah.
Nice. Nice. Well, I'm very happy for you.
Thank
and
you.
You've been, you know, a little icon here for a while. And you grew up here, like you said. You went to Vegas for a while. You came back. And people know you. You've had amazing experiences, and you brought those all together. And your amazing cuisine, and you are such a love.
Oh, thank you. I've been really fortunate in Arizona.
Well, good for you. I love it when people are grateful. That's a big deal. My gratitude rock used to be like exposed granite, and now it's as smooth as a baby's butt.
Nice.
Squeezes my hands. Superman.
Wait, the rock or the baby's butt?
I can't remember. all right, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be back with Christina Barrueta and Chef Matt Taylor of Gertrude's. I love my job. We'll see you in a minute. Hey, this is Heidi Lee, and you're Into the Soup on KWSS 93.9. It's time for the weekly Wet Your Whistle. Woohoo! Before we do that, we'd like to tip our hats to Local First Arizona. Shift 10%. Shift 10% of your spending dollars to locally owned businesses and support our community and our economy. LocalFirstAZ.org. Our weekly wet is provided to us today by the lovely Christina Barrueta of Right on Ruby, and it is the Negroni.
One of my favorite drinks. You can drink it during the day, before dinner,
of
after dinner, at night.
I don't know if I'd eat it with eggs, though. Or drink it with eggs, you think?
That could be a new trend, too.
Yeah. Okay, so you know what? Okay, here we go. Everybody ready to sing? Okay, you can find the recipe for this cocktail on IntoTheSoup.com. Beautiful. I love you people. But there, you sent me a little intro, and thank you very much. You saved me some time. What's the history of this drink? Is really cool, girl.
It is. It's a very classic, traditional Italian cocktail, and I actually first tried it because I think there was an article on Campari, which is a key ingredient in Gourmet magazine.
Okay.
Ago.
Gourmet
magazine. So it was years ago.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And I lived in Boston and went to one of my favorite restaurants in the North End, which was Our Little Italy.
Mm-hmm. Place,
and had the bartender make me up one, and I love it. It's a bitters, so you either love it or hate it. It has that kind of astringency from herbs.
My
husband hates it. I love it, obviously. And it's really a very simple cocktail. It's only three ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
And the commonly held story, origins of cocktails always have controversy.
Of course they do, because people are talking about them when they're drunk.
Right. I never thought
of that. I came out of this cocktail.
That's brilliant. But it's named after Count Negroni. There's a drink called the Americano.
And this is Italy, I'm assuming.
Italy, okay. Around the 1900s. There's a drink called the Italiano, Americano, which is also very popular to this day. And it is Campari, vermouth, and soda.
Okay.
And supposedly, he wanted a lot boozier drink.
Right
and he
on.
Said to the bartender, his name is Cassoni, supposedly, could you replace the soda with gin?
Mm-hmm.
And that is supposedly where the Negroni was born.
Okay. I can't drink it. Do you want to know why?
Why?
Okay. So one time I was working at this restaurant in back of the house. I think it was Garde Manger, and I came in one morning with just like the total brown bottle flu. And my chef's like, oh, you know, I think this is going to make you feel a lot better. Uh-huh. So he mixed something with bitters, and he goes, just shoot it, Heidi. You're going to feel so much better. And I did, and I was in the bathroom in like 3 seconds flat, and I was so sick. I'm just like, okay, but I felt better, but I can't drink it. So anyway, I know that's rather disgusting, but you know, we just let it all hang out here at Into the Soup. We don't really care.
Even Campari, it's a very closely guarded recipe.
Is it really?
Yes, you don't know how many ingredients. It's like Fernet Branca, which I know Chef Matt is a fellow fan
of. I'm familiar with it. I think I've had it before.
What is it again? Okay, so I'm uneducated here. What are you talking about?
We need to get you like drinking way more. You're broadening your horizons by here.
That's why I'm here. I mean, I've been gone from this for like 4 years. I extracted myself from the foodie scene. So this is like I'm in a free candy store. Like all new people, new places, new cocktails. So educate me. I'm educate, entertain, and engage. You're on.
Well, we're talking about Fernet. Yeah.
What's Fernet?
Fernet is a digestif. I think I can't remember how many different botanicals are in it, but there's a lot. I like to, it's like Jaeger for grown-ups.
And I actually don't even really like Jaeger. But
I'm not a big Jaeger fan. It's cough syrup with a boost.
Yeah, it doesn't have the cough syrupy factor to it, but it definitely has
a
little
more soft. If you could say softer than Jaeger.
A little softer, not as sugary, but
not
definitely
as syrupy.
Okay.
Definitely a little medicinal characteristics to it, but.
Well, isn't that what alcohol is all about?
Yes, exactly.
That and Coca-Cola.
He's Mexican, and he says it reminds me of him of something, some herbal or roots that his grandmother picked to help them.
Oh, really? So like home remedies?
Yeah, like herbal home remedies.
Yum. Okay, so we got to move to this because we've been promising our listeners that we're going to talk trends. Okay, so as everybody knows, I'm really not a trendy person. Can someone please remind me to do my PSAs before we go out? I got some events I got to talk about, but I want to move into this right now. So Dominic Armato wrote a plea to restaurants and maybe diners as well about what are you serving and take these dishes off your menus. And it's like, okay, well, you know, that's reasonable. Some people were like, no way, I'm never giving that up. Other people are like, yeah, let's just retire this one. Okay, beet salad.
Well, can I just start off by saying like, yeah. I'm sorry, because now we're gonna have to like erase half our menu.
Seriously?
No, I'm just joking. But yeah, we do have a beet salad.
But I love beet salad. So
I do too.
And I'm very good friends with Dom. I met him when he first moved here, actually, because we were on the same food boards.
Oh, okay, food boards.
And why I love beet salad is because Arizona has so many amazing farms and gardens.
Right.
So to me, anything that is made with local dairy, like Crow's Dairy, for example, with amazing produce, I don't want that off the menu.
No, I agree with you.
So,
okay, so we'll skip.
Stand on that.
Let's skip to deviled eggs. I can live without deviled eggs on a menu.
I mean, I can live without. I can live with them or without them. I love deviled eggs.
Okay.
I mean, I love anything that's done right. I guess you know.
Slider trios.
I'm just a fan of fast food burgers in general.
Oh, are you? Like, so what's your favorite one?
Whataburger.
Is it?
Triple meat, triple cheese, add jalapenos.
Do you get the fries and the whole meal deal, or do you just go with sandwich?
I'm more of just a burger guy, but I'm a firm believer in the fast food burger versus the gourmet burger. I'm just more, that just, to me, that's just, it's America.
Flat top or grill?
Flat top.
Flat top.
Ooh, that's a hard one. My husband's actually a huge fan of Whataburger, too. He's from El Paso,
Texas. I knew we got along for a reason.
Yeah.
He loves that place. That's tough.
My first job was at A&W.
I
know, right? She's getting Bitsy's over there laughing. Okay, sans the roller skates, but we did have the little change thing in front. Ka-ching, ka-ching. Yeah, the baby burger, the mama burger, the dad burger, the grandpa burger. Those were awesome.
Absolutely. I grew up on A&W, too.
Did you? And the root beer floats with that frozen mug. Oh, my gosh.
Do they still give you the mugs? Or does
I don't think they're
think
there anymore. I mean,
people steal them, so they stop giving them out.
Yeah, they probably did. I think I have one in my... Oh, never... No. My secret chest. how about bruschetta?
We were talking about this earlier. Yes. Right?
Were you?
I love bruschetta. I mean, Postino's put it on the menu, and they do a fantastic job, and I love that place.
Okay.
I can see the ubiquitous mediocre, throw some tomatoes with balsamic vinegar and basil on a piece of toast being covered. But to me, there's so many cultures that have bread topped with things.
Right.
French
or any sort of dough.
French tartines, there's, which I can't pronounce that, Danish smorgasbord. So I think it's not so much the actual bruschetta, but maybe the toppings.
Okay.
Do a nice tartine with all our wonderful gardens. I'm a huge fan of Blue Sky Farms.
Mm-hmm.
After taking a look.
Oh, they're so fun to go out there, yeah. That's pretty cool.
Hi, RJ. And, you know, how about a simple tartine with amazing butter from Arizona with
right.
some delicious breakfast radishes from one of the many famous
you know,
purveyors and serve that instead. So I think that Dominic's thinking more of that.
Yeah, the I do one that is always a hit and people are just like, I don't get it. So you just have a baguette mm-hmm. and you don't toast it because you want the bread soft and it's with radish. Mm-hmm. And you make a compound butter with dill and exactly. Green onion and a little lemon juice and salt.
And you don't
then,
see that on the menus.
No, you don't. And it is so fresh. You'd be like, I don't like radishes. And it's like, yes, but with the butter and the salt, it's not a radish anymore. It's just this, you know, crunchy little explosion in your mouth.
It's sweet and spicy.
Yeah, yeah. That's something that's classic. You know, yeah. radishes with butter and sea salt, that will yeah. never go out of fashion.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And it's a go-to when people don't know what they want, but they want something different. Either that or a rosemary herbed goat cheese with a fig preserve and a little bit of prosciutto. Mm-hmm.
Maybe
yeah,
a
that's
little
a
Benson's
nice one.
Ham that we
yeah,
have
a little
here.
Benson's ham. You got a nice little spread here. Okay, so.
Friends, just to interject. Please don't serve it on crunchy, awful bread that makes you either chew really hard or
right,
crackle.
Or cut the roof of your mouth.
Right.
It's like, yeah, no, this, you know, it has to be a little popper thing. It's like, you know, people put them on the thing that you have to take two bites and it gets all over you and you don't have a plate and you're at a cocktail party. So there are some people out there that are talking about trends. What's out for 2015? What's in for 2016? One of the things that I see that's going out is kale.
Well, oh, come on.
That's what they're saying. I'm just the messenger.
Darn it.
What?
So I guess we'll take the kale, quinoa, and hummus salad off the menu.
Oh, am I piercing you through the heart? I'm so sorry.
No, I'm totally being sarcastic.
Oh, okay, great. Thanks.
Sorry, I'm messing with you.
I thought the kale thing because there's a million green leafy vegetables.
It tastes like crap.
Delicious.
It does taste like crap. It's just, I mean, you have to work so hard to make it taste. I'd rather have spinach.
Spinach is good.
Yeah,
don't deny spinach.
Oh no, I'm not. I'm just saying I love spinach.
I love all those green, and I love kale too. I'll eat it. But why is kale like the only green leaf?
I don't know. And you know what? I can't say that word. Can you make sure you delete that, please, Leisha? Is they take this kale was this bed of the produce department at the grocery store. They didn't use it for anything else, and then everybody's like, oh, kale. And
we used to garnish plates with it.
Exactly. Yeah, I know, back in the day, a big old piece of kale. Nasty.
Nice orange wedge.
Yeah, and an orange.
Real nice.
Awesome. And the other thing about trendy stuff, and I'm going off on a tangent, here I go, woo, is, so like tri-tip, or another one that they say is coming along. Did you see this in your readings? Brisket?
Oh, brisket skyrocketed for sure.
Yeah. So what does it do? It jacks the price up for the consumer at the grocery store. So who drives this?
Like
did the chefs?
Wings.
Yeah. I know.
Expensive.
That was like garage sale food. It's like, okay, chicken wings. Yeah, I can do that.
Well,
so
my
what?
Friend Justin Eats. He gave me a list of.
Oh,
great
let's
list
hear it. Go for it, girlfriend.
He thinks it's kind of sriracha with everything. But one of the
is it sriracha or sriracha?
It's sriracha.
Okay.
For some reason, I lived in Thailand for a while where it was, and I don't know, I grew up, my parents say sriracha.
Okay, that's fine, we can call it,
Brussels
you know,
sprouts.
Potato. Okay, yeah.
You see a lot, I mean, I love all this stuff. I actually am not a fan of what a trends, what, I if I like it,
I'm not either, yeah.
But it's an interesting topic. So I think in this sense, it's kind of too common.
Okay.
So that those kind of things that he mentioned, which I kind of agree with, but I will order, you know, Brussels sprouts on almost every menu.
Well, you know, some of it's kind of out there. It's like you look at fashion. I mean, everything trends, you know, from the latest smartphone to a car to politicians to, you know, food. And you can take the, you know, the freaky chick that's walking down the runway in New York and look at that. Well, we pare it down and they actually sell it at, you know, Neiman Marcus, it's certainly not going to look like that. And I think that's what happens with some of these food trends too. So they're throwing these things. You're looking at me like, what the hell are you talking about, Matt?
Sorry, the fashion metaphor is escaping me.
I'm sorry. So they're out there talking about poke. Poke's the new trend. Like, poke's been around forever. Who are these people?
Has anybody ever had Matt Taylor's poke?
No, I have not had Matt Taylor's poke. What's in your poke?
Wouldn't you like to know? Hello. All right. Well, I guess poke is the new tartare then, right?
Is that what it is?
I don't know.
Okay. Basically tartare.
I didn't know it was the new trend, but
I don't think it is. These are the masses going out there, you know, and the self-proclaimed foodie gurus that say this is what's coming next. Whoever listens to them, I don't know. I don't, but I just think the whole thing about trending food is really interesting. Who drives it? Is it the consumer? Matt, I want you to have poke on your menu. Or is it the chef that says, hey, I found this new really cool ingredient?
Well, there's...
You think it's media? Kind of like everything else?
There's media. I think there's a few things. I mean, if you look at vegetables or produce, for one reason, it could be, the clientele's obsession with wanting to eat vegetables that aren't in season that drive prices up so high. Why we pay $8 for a bunch of asparagus? Well, it's right. January, so right. That's what you're going to pay. With regards to certain dishes, people, like whenever we write a menu, lots of the time people will be like, what's your signature dish? I'm like, I don't know. We don't create that. The customers create that by making it, by ordering it a lot. And that kind of happens and materializes itself. Whether we like it or not,
it's like the slinky of food, you've got it in either hand and it kind of weighs, like the scales of justice, they go back and forth depending upon supply, demand, what people are hearing about, what they're reading, and going back to the very same thing we started talking about was the educated consumer.
Sure. I mean, back when short ribs were $1.50 a pound, and then once people found out if you know how to cook them, they're delicious, and now we pay, $38 on a menu for them for something that, used to be... never seen on menus.
It was a comfort dish because you could buy it inexpensively.
And it does change things and people's perception. But all in all, what we really want is, even if trends come and go, they always do. There's going to be something new and bright out there. Like new bright, everything we talked about before. But if the chefs can elevate it and change it to a thing that gives it a greater appreciation because of some value foreseen or not foreseen, I mean, I suppose that's a good thing, right?
No, yeah. Definitely.
I mean, we'd much rather have people eating, pick whatever, pork cheeks, than eating filet mignon all day, At least it takes a little more thought and love and time and consideration into preparing that, So if that's the worst thing that happens, like that more people are eating, off cuts of meat, that's not a terrible place to be.
No, there isn't. And I just think it's fascinating that people are that much into it, which means that there's still this great appreciation for food and for the dining experience. And I'm just really tickled that Phoenix has become a dining destination. And it just adds to the beautiful flavor of our state and the things that we have to offer here. The tourism is great. I mean, look what we have. We've got the weather, except for when it's 117. But the beautiful resorts, the golf courses, the Grand Canyon, Sedona. Mm-hmm. And just add to that all these beautiful foods.
So one trend I'd love to see is all these, the restaurants which are wonderfully promoting Arizona produce, whether it's produce, dairy, wines. We have distilleries here.
Yeah, no, that's cool.
But instead of saying, we do this, why isn't everybody doing this? Why isn't every restaurant, I mean, we have so many. We have Maya's, we have Carl's Sea Cat, I think we should be taking advantage of this, and it should just be a given.
Yep, and I think it's just, it takes time to change. It's a cyclical thing, and so I am running out of time. I've got to do this really quick, and then we'll say goodbye to everybody. There is a wonderful event coming up on February 20th, No More Chilly Nights by the Clothes Cabin, and what they do is support people in need with clothing and household items. They are having a chili cook-off, and yours truly will be one of the judges. Yay! It's in Chandler. Tickets are $40 a person. It's for a very good cause, and you can go to www.clothescabin.org to get your tickets. And that's Saturday, February 20th at 6 p.m. Anything else going on? Oh, I think that's it. Next week, Heidi will be broadcasting with the seven chefs who were invited to the James Beard House to do a dinner, and I'm really, really excited, and I can't wait to do that with them, and I'm going to tell their names really quick. Colin Campbell, Kelly Fletcher, Joshua Hebert, Scott Holmes, Stephen Jones, Bernie Kantak, Gio Osso, and their super sidekick, Jacob Coutinho. So thank you very much, Christina.
Thank you.
It was so nice to play with you and see you again. It's been too long.
I think we should do a radio show every day, and we just
you think?
It.
Oh, and just we can drink, and people can bring us food.
We're gonna need a lot more wine.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you so
it
much.
It was
for
so
being
nice
here.
To meet you, so and nice. Thanks for hosting. It's been a lot of fun.
Hey,
I hope you guys
pleasure.
Enjoyed yourselves.
Anytime.
Yeah. Cool. All you right. Bet. Am I out, my friend? Okay. So this is Heidi Lee. You're Into the Soup. Take care of each other. Take care of yourselves, and we'll see you next week.
Jesse!
Let's go, guys!
Hey, did you guys know that kids who play sports earn more money when they grow up?
Of course. I knew that.
Hey, did you guys know that kids who read books have a bigger vocabulary?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Wow, jinx. Did you guys know that friendly children have more friends?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true. I knew that. Did you guys know that winter babies are better at music?
Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Pretty obvious.
Yeah. So
yeah.
obvious.
Oh, hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
Huh. I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure I knew that.
I'm pretty sure you didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.